Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
God is good to us as we get to go to the Word of the Lord tonight. I'm grateful. It's my birthday, and a lot of times, you know, we don't realize some of the things that we pass through in life. And one of the great things that I've learned over the years is what we talked about a little bit on Sunday out of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, remember verse number 6. And it says there's no other way, or it's impossible to please God except by faith. And he that comes to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I like the part on the beginning where it says if you're going to come to God and try to be pleasing to God, you're going to have to come to God with this little product that sometimes we don't understand that God gave to us is faith. That means believing God for something. Believing God for something you don't see. Believing God for something that you don't hear or know. Believing God for a lot of things. And oftentimes you find yourself in this place of living life out, you know, and you don't know how it's going to work. And you don't know how you're going to make it. You just have this passion on the inside of you. You have a feeling on the inside of you. And then you start to realize that you can believe God for it. You can put your heart into it and believe God, find some scripture that support what you believe God for, and get involved in it. And all of a sudden, something wonderful takes place. And it's called faith. God does something. I think one of the great birthday gifts of this year for me was a friend of mine that called me twice yesterday. I finally got back to him. And my friend is Diego Mesa. He pastors one of the great churches in the Inland Empire in Rancho Cucamonga, about our size. And he kind of sees me as his dad. I guess everybody does when you get my age. You're just dad, you know. But he's always calling and asking information and stuff like that. Just a really good friend. And he's confided in me about everything in his life. And I just adore him. I mean, I just simply adore him. About a year and a quarter ago, year and a half ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in the bones. He had gone to a physician in Riverside area that was a specialist in that type of cancer. The man was known in the United States as the expert of that type of cancer. And as he went there, they diagnosed him. And after a long series of tests, the physician came and said, "Son, here's the bottom line. You're going to die. You have maybe at the most, maybe a year to live." That was last May or June of last year. He should have been dead by June of this year. I had called him a couple of weeks ago, and once again he confided in me, and his voice was heavy. And as he explained to me that he had never been in such pain in all of his life, he broke down and he cried, and he was telling his wife the story and how he felt, and she started weeping. And he says, "I'll never do that again. I'll never break down in front of Cindy again." He says, I can't do that because it's too hard on her." That's the kind of guy he is, you know. And but I've never, Debbie and I have seen this guy come back like a champion. He's gained weight, hasn't lost weight. He looks better today than he ever did. He looked like a skeleton when they pronounced that over him. But he looks like Zorro today. He's handsome. In fact, he calls himself, he says, "This is your fat little Mexican friend." And I said, "No, you're not fat. You know, the guy's gaining weight. First time I've seen him do that. He's just a tremendous man." I think the thing that was most interesting, a couple of weeks ago, I mean, he didn't know where he was going. He was in, maybe 3 weeks ago. It was just so miserable for him. Yesterday, when I got those two phone calls, I tell you the truth, I was kind of heavy about calling. I knew I had to, but I didn't want to hear anything because I had been believing with him, fighting with him for this, and that he, you know, our Jesus is a healer. And he went back to that same doctor, and that a physician is a physician. God bless the physicians. You know, they're absolutely wonderful. They just do within the perimeter of their knowledge. You know, they're That's what they're going to do. And went through all of the tests a couple of weeks ago or a week and a half ago, feeling miserable. Got the results back and sat down with a physician. The physician's going through this. And he says to Diego, I have a problem. He says, when I looked at these tests, I thought they had completely overlooked your cancer and gave me reports about everything but your bone cancer that you have that's stage 4. He says, in the beginning, he said these words to Diego. Nobody in his entire life that he's ever known has existed more than a year with this kind of cancer. No one. That's the first diagnosis he ever got. Well, it's more than a year, and the doctor said, you are in full remission. And I have to be honest, many of you have been praying for Pastor Diego. He's just such a powerful guy. He hasn't stayed out of the pulpit. He's preached 2, 3, 4 times a week. He's just, in horrible pain as sometimes as he does it, but he does it. He's just an absolutely phenomenal human being. Stage 4, diagnosed, no human being has ever existed past a year with this kind of a diagnose in their life. And yet here he is a year and a quarter later, total remission. Listen to what I'm saying to you. You have got to, and so do I, realize that with faith, you can change the world that you live in. That literally nothing is too difficult. Nothing. My Bible says nothing is impossible to God. My Bible says, listen to the what, either the Bible's true or God's a liar. And there's really no Jesus at all. This is a fairy tale, and we might as well all buy season passes at Disneyland because Mickey Mouse is more real than Jesus. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. And you ought to be believing God for great things. You and I have got to come to a place where we have got to believe God. Some of you need to believe God for a job or a better job. You don't have to stay in the job you're in. How about a better job? How about believing God for a better home? How about believing God for uniting in the home and oneness in the home? How about believing God for children that are grow and serve the Lord? How about believing God as you get older, things get better, not worse? Every one of us in here, like Diego, and some level of our life ought to be believing God something as passionately as he has this last year and a quarter. Complete remission. Now, they don't say healed. Not going to say that word because the doctor doesn't know anything about, but I know, and so do you, he's healed. Last week, while Pastor David was ministering on the platform, he introduced 4 women in our church service. One came out from the back, 3 up on the platform singing in the choir. Just the women on the platform, all with stage 4 cancer that are completely healed. Every one of them were not supposed to live past a year, year and a half. And 5, 6, 8, 9 years later, God is still faithful. I have just a little message that I want to share with you that God placed in my heart yesterday in my time of prayer. Yesterday is my day off, but I spent it with God. And because that's what I like. I mean, I really like to spend time getting into the Word of God. That's where my life is. That's my heartbeat. That's Deborah's heartbeat. You can't hang around Deborah without Deborah talking Jesus all the time. Deborah, let's go to a movie. And I tell you, this is something great that took place in the heart as God spoke to me. Obstacles in the path of faith. 3 things that you and I need to always remember as we're believing God for something great. 3 simple things that could easily come into your life And after all of these years, I've seen so many people get so discouraged, instead of like Diego, who wouldn't hear anything else but the report of the Lord. I remember when he said the pain was so great. He says, I never realized that pain like this has a voice. It speaks to every part of your body. It's speaking to me. And he says, the voice of God has got to be greater than the voice that's on the inside of pain that's speaking to me. When the voice of God speaks to you greater than anything else, there are a couple things for you to watch out for. A few that I'm going to mention, probably a dozen I could, but I only do three. Number one, here's your first obstacle to faith that I found over the years. Here it is, simple as this, people. That's right, people. Godly people, spiritual people, unspiritual people, not just unbelieving people, just people in general. And you know why they can be an obstacle? Because they don't walk in the same shoes you walk in. They don't feel what you feel. They haven't seen what you see. They don't feel what you know and have inside of you. They haven't got the vision that you have for that particular thing. Their faith might be somewhere else. They will come up and they will say all kinds of stuff to you that is discouraging. They'll come and tell you it can't happen. Or I tried that once. Or I know somebody who tried it and they failed. There might be a report that comes along. You're not going to make it. You might as well understand. Prepare yourself. You're going to die. It's the way it's going to be. It's over with. I've never seen anybody recover from this kind of cancer. Nobody is going to recover. You're not going to. You might as well. And I'm telling you, sometimes people will become an obstacle. And a lot of times we don't realize the subtlety of who the people are. I was reading in Scripture, as I read yesterday, and I just sometimes think when we see people as an obstacle, we always picture, you know, some goofy guy that's demonic or someone who doesn't believe in God. But what about somebody who's a spiritual leader that literally comes against what you're believing God for? And I want you to know something. You know, probably never ever hear this anywhere else in the whole world but here. But I want you to know something. Spiritual leaders put their pants on just like you. Spiritual leaders do just what you do. They get up in the morning, they go to bed in the morning, they sleep, they snore, they roll over, they mutter in their sleep, and all the other noises you make in your sleep. And just because they're spiritual doesn't mean so much that they've just got it all together. They don't do those things. Spiritually, it's not any different. You know the people that walked with Jesus? Jesus is performing miracles. And he's got the attention of the people. But do you know the guys that walked with him? They were considered. Boy, the people came after the people that walked with Jesus, the disciples. And they really thought of them as something special. They brought their prayer request to them. They listened to what they had to say. They were special because they were around Jesus. Jesus had selected them. This man that came to town and healed everybody. My goodness sakes alive, Jesus selected them. They were special. And this lady comes up, and I just wanted to kind of read this to you. It's kind of an interesting little testimony. And something just jumped out at me, talking about people being an obstacle of spiritual leaders. If you'll go with me in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and let's take a look at verse number 21. And Jesus went out from there and departed from the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came to him from a region, cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, my son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. So here's this woman who's a Gentile woman coming after Jesus. He's surrounded himself. He's just been done great and mighty miracles. He's just had a crusade. And here come, listen to this. Here comes this woman, and she makes this statement. Listen, he says, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Man, have you ever had a child that's out of sync? Have you ever had a child that's sick? Have you ever had a child that's not functioning right? It's a heartbreaking experience. And she's coming up with all of her heart, and she's coming to Jesus. And then it comes along, verse 23, but he answered her not. Not a word. And his disciples came urging him to say, send her away. She cries after us. When she's going after the disciples, anybody that can help her. And here is the spiritual leaders saying, send her away. And then all of a sudden, here's what happens. And he answers and says to her, in verse number 24, I was not sent to accept the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you know how the story goes, the woman had such great faith that it marveled Jesus and she got what she wanted. And you know, guys, oftentimes you can't judge what God is by a person, even a spiritual person. You got to look at the word of the Lord, see the heartbeat of God, find out what God says about this. Because I'm here to tell you something. Spiritual people don't always have the answers. Sure, they have a lot of them. Sure, they're probably more advanced spiritually than most people that are in this room. But guess what? Here at the same time, there's an idea here that people, those disciples almost stopped that woman from getting what she needed. And here it is. It's just terrible. There's a ruler in the synagogue. While you're there, and go there with Mark, the fifth chapter. A ruler in the synagogue. I read this one. I thought this was fascinating. Now, this isn't just anybody's. This ruler in the synagogue comes to Jesus. This is quite a humbling experience. And it starts way back in verse number 22. This ruler in the synagogue by the name of Jairus saw him and fell at his feet and begged him. And he's telling him, he says, my little daughter is just as sick as she can be. She's at a point of death. Will you come? Then as he says, yes, I will come to the ruler in the synagogue, as he's going to his house, remember the issue with a woman with the issue of blood, he heals her. Then the very next verses, verse 35 of the fifth chapter of Mark says this, while he was still speaking. In other words, Jesus is talking to the woman who just got the issue of blood healed. While he was still speaking and the issue of blood was healed right before people's eyes. Listen to this. While he was still speaking, verse number 35, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid. Listen to this. Only believe. Guys, for every one of us in here, I don't give a flip what anybody says. I'm going to tell you what's in my heart I'm believing for. I'm believing for every seat filled. That's just my faith. I'm a pastor. I'm believing for this sanctuary, every seat to be filled in all the services on Sunday. Let me tell you something. I jog 2 to 3 miles every single day except Sunday. And I jog that every day. And don't think for a moment there isn't every part of my body, my age, crying out, saying with every step, please stop, you're crazy. And I do that because I've got my faith. We've already got 4 Sunday morning services with Spanish. But I'm believing for 2 Spanish services and another English service. So that will be 4 English services on Sunday morning plus Saturday morning. 2 Spanish services. I've already got a vision at the other end of the courtyard building another 1,000-seat sanctuary for overflow, and I've already got a vision of having people sitting on the grass with one of those televisions you can see in the sun and have a latte and sit on the grass, throw out your blanket and come to church out there. I've had that since we've come here. Now, let me tell you something. We're doing great, but we're not doing anywhere near what the vision is on the inside of me. And I tell you, don't be afraid because I don't see it. Don't be afraid because people say it's not going to happen. Let me tell you this. Just believe. Is anybody listening? We're talking about obstacles in the path of faith. Here's obstacle number 2. I love this one. Circumstances. Discouraging when things don't go well. All of a sudden, you want to stop. Who promised you that everything would always go well? I mean, the moment you became a Christian, do you know that you became a target? You are a Christian target for every demon in hell that's floating through the city. And here we find ourselves that oftentimes circumstances don't match up to what our faith is. Oftentimes circumstances say something, speak louder than what we know we should have our faith in. With Diego Mesa, well, I found it, he was a person who was, his circumstances weren't looking very good. The reports for over a year from the doctor weren't so encouraging. The body was speaking louder than the word at first. And all of a sudden he found himself in a place where he had to turn that around and stop looking at the circumstances. Have you got discouraging circumstances? Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you lost a house. Maybe you read the news. Maybe you watched CNN or Fox or somebody, and they give you lousy reports about the economy. Maybe you think the medical situation's going to be good or bad, but you don't know how it's going to be paid for. Listen to the old man, has always been out there, and they've always been negative. And they're always out there to try to discourage you from having faith, to only believe. And circumstances sometimes are discouraging because they're contrary to what you're believing God for and what you're trying to do. I find Peter in a boat and he's fishing and he's absolutely not catching anything in Luke, the 5th chapter. Go there with me. He's not catching a stinking thing. When they fish all night long on the Sea of Galilee. That's how they catch fish. They don't fish during the daytime in an early morning like we do for trout fishing and things like that. They're fishing at night. And they've fished all night long and they haven't gotten anywhere. And it's been like really frustrating. And he finds himself just miserable. Jesus goes to him and makes a statement to him. And he's telling him, Peter, I want you to take your nets and throw them on the other side. Now, I would have said something like, you know what? We've been fishing all night long. Who are you? You're a carpenter. You're not a fisherman. I am the well-renowned fisherman. Your dad's a carpenter. You are a carpenter. I heard about you. You don't know anything about fishing. I make my living fishing. I've been working all. I didn't work just for an hour. I haven't worked just for a couple of hours. I've been laboring all night long. Forget it. I'm going in and wash my nets, that's a big enough job, and hang it up and we'll try it again tomorrow night. You want to go fishing with me tomorrow night? Fine. Simon answers in 5th chapter of Luke, verse number 5, he says, but Simon answers and says to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Man, is that not circumstances to a reason to quit? Right before your very eyes, the circumstances say there's nothing there. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Man, he just brought it up. Now I'll let it down again. That's a big job. And all of a sudden, guys, every single one of us are confronted. Are we going to be afraid and not do it? Or are we going to just believe? Circumstances come in all the time that stop us from accomplishing, listen to my words, what we really want and need God to do for us and what we really want in our life. God wants to bless you. Anybody that comes along and says, well, you never know. They don't understand the Bible. Let me tell you something. You go to a lot of churches that teach you this. They'll teach you that God doesn't want to bless you necessarily. It's no big thing. Let me tell you something. Can I just tell you the truth? That's a bunch of bull. Read the Bible, man. God wants to bless you. You'd have to be a spiritual moron or someone who cops out on the scripture or trying to pretend like you know something to make a statement like that. God wants to bless you. And the whole point comes into this thing is oftentimes we don't follow through because of circumstances. We give up. Sure, times are tough. Sure, times are difficult. Sure, you're going to get tired. Sure, you're going to get weary. Sure, you'll work all night long. Sure, you'll have already pulled up your nets and have to let them down again. Sure, these things, but guess what? There's results down to you. You think Diego just sat around, did nothing, man? He fought a fight for the last year and a half that's been bizarre. I'm telling you the truth. This pastor would have just given up the ghost, said, adios. I'm out of here. I'm going to Jesus. Debbie's going to take a preach from now on. And I tell you, it's a fight to get where you want to go, what you need to have. Are you afraid? Or will you just believe? Circumstances, these guys, they've got a paralyzed friend in Scripture. And they hear about Jesus, but they can't get near Jesus to take their paralyzed friend to Jesus who gets people healed. They don't know how to get to him. Circumstances are, there's too many people and you can't get near them. Let's quit. Luke, the fifth chapter. You're there anyway. This time, verse number 18 and verse number 19 says it like this. Behold, the men brought on a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring to lay before him. Notice the capital word H on the capital letter H and the word him. Verse number 19, when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the rooftop and they let him down in his bed. I mean, can you imagine being that guy in the bed? A couple of things. Can you imagine owning the house and the guys are picking the roof off? I just knocked a hole in my roof. Look at the size of that hole. It had to be a big hole, guys. And what's that? Who's that in the basket coming down on the top of that roof? I have seen everything now. They've ruined my house, and here comes some guy. What is he, a stork? Guy's paralyzed. Most people would have given up and said, well, we tried, couldn't get to him. If it had been the will of God, you know, we would have gotten to him. Well, if it had been the will of God, I'd have gotten blessed. Well, if it had been the will of God, I'd have been a good business person. Well, you know, if it was the will of God, he could have healed my marriage. If it's the will of God, you know, I could have, you know, my kids would have served because I prayed a lot for them, eh? But you know, it must not be the will of God because I can't get near Jesus to get the answers to my prayers. So I'm just going to go home. But I tried. Do you remember how I taught you this? God does not reward good intentions. You're going to have to push through the top of a roof, do something crazy like letting them down to make sure you get it. You're going to get it. Is anybody listening? We're talking about obstacles of our faith. Here's the third one and the last one for today. Delays. I hate delays. I want what I prayed for and I want it right now. I mean, I can get everything right now. I can go through Taco Bell and get a taco in 35 seconds. I can go In-N-Out Burger and I am in and I am out before you know it and I've got myself a burger and fries with cooked onions. Everything is fast. We live in a fast society. We keep making our computers faster and faster and faster and faster. It's going to be amazing when I learn how to turn one on. It's probably so fast it's on and I don't know it. But we all hate delays, don't we? We pray, we put our faith out there for a week or two or three or five. Then here come some people to discourage us. Here come some circumstances to tell us something different. And now we don't get the answers to our prayer. And when we think we ought to have it, why doesn't God just wave his magic wand? And why aren't I free? Why aren't I delivered? Why isn't my family restored? I am ready to get all the blessings. You got to pay the price. For most of us in here, can I just say this to you and be really frank? Let's talk. Most of us in here, including Pastor Jim and Deborah, are screw-ups. We have tried with God and let him down. we are not yet very trustworthy. And, you know, oftentimes you're going to find that God just doesn't move on things because he's waiting to see if you're going to move. Let me say it again. Oftentimes, God doesn't move on things because he's waiting to see how long it's going to take before you move. And when you don't move, he moves. But when you move, he doesn't move. And so sometimes what happens because of delays, we think, why doesn't God just answer my prayers now? He knows I need it now. He knows I've got to have it today. Today is my day. I'm telling you, I got to have this now, God. I tell you, anybody else, you can delay everything. But for me right now, I need to have it now. And have you ever noticed that God's not in a hurry? I wish he was in a hurry. One of the scriptures says, in the nick of time. Remember that? Hebrews, the fourth chapter, in the nick of time. Why didn't he do it in the beginning so I don't have to go through all this? Because I ever thought maybe there's something that's happening on the inside of us? It's called development. Learning to trust God. Because why? There's no other way to please him except by faith. According to Hebrews 11, chapter verse number 6. No other way. No other way except by faith. That means you believe God for something you don't see, know, understand, but your word, his word backs it up. He spoke it. That believes it. Hits his character. That's his nature. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And so sometimes we're believing God for something. Then people come and we pass the people test. Then the, you know, discouraging circumstances happen and we pass the discouraging circumstance test. And then thirdly, can I just say this to you? Here comes discouraging delays. And I often call them divine delays. Because I think God's so in control, he can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. The prayer that I prayed before I got to the parking spot. If you're pulling in a parking spot, crowded parking spot, right? You didn't pray before you saw how crowded it was. And you pulled in, you said, oh God, I need a parking place. Has anybody ever done that besides me? Raise your hand. You know you have. Oh God, this is my prayer. I need a parking place. God knew you were going to pray that prayer before you ever got to the parking place. That's how control is. He wouldn't say, well, you didn't pray in time. I'm not going to get you a parking place. If you drive around long enough, you'll get it. It's true. You know it is. You know it is. Listen to this. Jesus has got a friend. His name is Lazarus. Lazarus is sick, according to the Bible. He loves Lazarus. I mean, he loves him. It's probably like me and Diego. I love him. I can't help it. I'm proud of him. He's my friend. But I'm in love with Diego Mesa. And Jesus' friend, Lazarus, it's been reported to him, is sick. Go with me, if you will, in John, the 11th chapter. Now, there's some interesting things here. I know you know the verses, but I'm going to show you something you maybe never saw before, okay? John, the 11th chapter, verses 2 through 6, and then we're going to read starting verse number 2. It was that Mary, who anointed the Lord with oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Everybody say sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. Meaning, we know you love Lazarus, and he's sick. You've been healing everybody. You've been going around. The Bible says he went and healed all. Didn't miss any. Healed them all. So they knew that. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in that place where he was. Now, just to let you know how the story goes, then dies. He dies. Lazarus dies. I mean, Mary's put out. Don't tell me she isn't. Martha's put out. Don't tell me she isn't. Lazarus is dead. Jesus doesn't go and do anything. Now, he goes in the fourth day to Lazarus. Speaks to Lazarus, says, come forth, unwrap him. And he stands up and he's healed. And he's alive. And everybody will teach you this. That the reason that he waited 4 days is because in the Old Testament there's people that raised from the dead in 3 days. But after the fourth day, there was nobody ever raised from the dead. So the truth of this was, it was a witness to all the Jewish people. It was beyond the third day, the fourth day. That's why Jesus went. Very well may be true. Here's what I believe. It's in Scripture so that you and I know that God's not in a hurry. And no matter what seemingly dies before you, God can raise it again. Don't be afraid. Just believe. I believe that more than I believe anything else. I believe that Jesus has this hair and he waited all those days. He could have gone and healed him when he was sick. He could have gone immediately and raised him from the dead, but he didn't. He waited just to let you know that God's not in a hurry. Listen to me. If God, I've said this to you 1,000 times. If you could ever listen to me, you're going to listen to this because I'm going to say 1,000 more times. If God was moved by time, hear me. Hear me. If God was moved by time, hear me. One more time. If God was moved by time, then time would be a superior power to God. Time doesn't move God. God moves time. And for all of us that are in here, sometimes the answers to your prayers aren't there. And I want you to know something. I think if you're going down the toilet real fast, you ought to make some changes. But you know what God spoke to you. And no one else does. Don't be afraid. Listen to me. Just believe. In believing, which is pleasing to God, there'll be people, even spiritual leaders. There'll be contrary conditions and circumstances that are contrary and discouraging. And there will be also, oftentimes, divine delays. Because God's trying to develop your heart to see if you'll give up. Because he's not going to give up if you don't give up. But he wants you to see yourself first. Tonight, that's all God spoke to me to say to you. So if God spoke to you tonight, how about giving him a great big praise the Lord? Glory to God. Isn't that good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.